Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 126, episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially off the top, fuck the Koch brothers. Fuck Fox News.
Hey, while we're at it.
Yeah. It's Friday, March 27th, 2020. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Zeit Gang! Stay into quarantine!
Hello?
That's supposed to be a play on Warriors Come Out to Play, yay. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Keep your arms above me, baby. Keep your arms above me, baby. Christy Yamaguchi Maine. Thank you for that, Sugar Ray. Inspired AKA. It's amazing to see the influx of AKAs, like full-on verses that I'm getting in my mentions. I have to take my time to go through all of them, but shout out to everybody who's using their time to do some creative good.
To compose.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by our guest and co-host, Jamie Loftus!
Some people call me Lil Zamboni. Yeah. Some call me the boss who is girl. Some call me the hacker who codes. Because I'm the coder who hacks.
Here's the second verse. I think you get the idea.
Learn guitar, the guitar part for that.
I know. I need to switch. Whoop, whoop. I'll just make Sonny do it.
He's good.
I'm surprised he doesn't know how to play acoustic,
right? Since
already.
He does that every time a woman walks by on the street.
Yeah, he fully whoop whoops.
Well, guys, let's tell our listeners what we're talking about today and then get into a little bit of over-under. We're going to talk about our new leader in all things labor and collective action, the Cheesecake Factory.
Chairman Cheesecake.
Comrade Cheesecake.
Comrade Cheesecake Factory. I mean, it's right there in the name. It's like a factory, you know. I mean, factories.
The people need their cheesecakes.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to talk about the Biden sexual assault allegation. We are going to talk about U.S. jobless claims going up by 3 million, the previous record for a single week rise in jobless claims was 600,000 in 1982. We're going to talk about Bernie straight flaming the GOP on the floor of Congress. We're going to talk about whether crime will actually go up. People seem to be expecting it to with all the guns they're buying. And we're going to talk about some of the items people are not desperately hoarding and how the paparazzi biz is holding up. But first, guys, let's tell the people what is something from our search history that's revealing about who we are.
I got Comrade Brittany. Anyone Google Comrade Brittany yesterday?
Well, I mean, yes. Did something else happen aside from her Instagram post?
There's several Instagram posts at this point.
Okay, because I know we talked about the first one where she was just like fucking with the idea of a general strike. What's the latest from Com Breezy?
Com Breezy, she's really becoming a rose emoji, and I love to see it. She did one of those celeb challenge posts that are all curse. Celebrities are doing doing push-ups or something. What the fuck are they doing? And then they're washing their hands on camera. Jennifer Garner washed her hands and was like, "I stay home for Victor Garber," and I was like, "That's cool." Who's Victor Garber? Oh, her dad on Alias and Thomas Andrews and Titanic and the professor in Legally Blonde. He's a character actor legend.
Yes.
Second only to Molina. But
why does she stay home for him? Because he's an elderly gentleman?
Because he's old and he played her dad on TV. He's an old famous. We stay inside for the old famous. And he officiated the Garner Affleck wedding.
Oh. What?
Ah. Yeah.
What a champ.
Tight. Yes. So he's, you know, officiated at least one failed marriage. Anyways, Comrade Brittany started a challenge where she said that she was going to cover the expenses of three fans of like what they needed during the crisis. And she was like trying to get it going. And she tagged like Will Smith and Kate Hudson to be like, "Hey, we should all do this for our fans," which is like, okay, three fans, you can afford more. But it's a start. Right. And so she was trying to get this, like, you know, redistribution of wealth thing going. And none of the celebrities she tagged took her challenge. The end.
Wow.
But she tried. Yeah. She was like, I'm going to pay for people's expenses. Rose emoji. She's our comrade now.
She's all over the rose emoji. She really is.
She's loving it. What if like she really didn't get it? She just really loved the rose emoji, and she's like, "I'm really loving this rose emoji."
Well, if you're familiar with Brittany's Instagram, it's pretty high likelihood that she just likes flowers.
Yeah, that's kind of my like. I think that might actually be what's going on. Possibly.
Well, people also have theories, like, you know, because she was taking care of like her sick father. If like maybe she was interacting with the healthcare industry and may have found some things out, but. You know, but either way, I think she's, you know, I'm glad she's disseminating good info and trying to do the right thing, no matter how it comes.
And she also, and she shared like a communism, like is that the post we talked about? Was like that long text post?
Yeah, the long text post,
So she, I don't know. I think whether she realizes what it is by name, she's getting into it. She has a good heart.
Yeah.
She's Comrade Brittany.
It would be pretty strange if her... you know, fandom of roses lined up with her starting to kind of ideologically bend towards the left. Like that does seem like a little bit too much of a coincidence.
I think you just see now in a situation like this, the only ideology you probably have as a human being is to either help somebody or not. And if you're more likely to help, then I think, you know, it makes sense to say like, yeah, I have more. I need to give some to people who have less. Oh, that sucks that if you don't have a job, that you have to pay your rent or your bills. That's not right. I mean, I think some people are starting to catch up to it as we're seeing day by day, especially with
AOC
the amount
Spears of people. 2024. Let's do it. what is something we think is underrated? Gang?
Cream of mushroom soup.
Oh, hard cream of disagree. Mushroom soup.
Well, the reason I'm saying it is because
great ingredient.
It is It's the great ingredient. It can help you make a sauce. You can fucking somehow turn some chicken breasts into a creamy thing. It just allows, it's just like a, it just allows for a lot more a flexibility. Yeah, like a creamy thing. You want a little creamy.
Yeah, yeah.
You want a little creamy. That's why. And look, it's most people know that if you're Midwest casserole gang, obviously it's like having, you know, there's no, it's part of the genetic code of a casserole is cream of mushroom soup. But I'm like, when I go to the store, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna get that because I can turn up nearly any dish with a little bit of herbs and cream of mushroom soup.
My mom makes a fully cursed but delicious American quesadilla that is just a bunch of, I mean, she doesn't call it American quesadilla, but the ingredients are flour tortillas, cheese, and cream of chicken soup. That's it.
Boom.
You just and then some chilies mixed in there. But it's basically a combination casserole slash
quesadilla. Like an enchilada.
It's like, but it's, yeah, just stacks of cheese and quesadillas. It's fucking great.
On our next grocery store run, I'm going to try to get the ingredients for, I think I've even talked about this recipe. Well, to call it a recipe is a stretch. But my mom's taco salad that was just like a bag of Doritos all mushed up. And then you put hamburger meat on it. And then you put shredded cheese on it.
Oh,
and then
hell
you put
yeah.
half a bottle of Catalina dressing. And then you heat it up.
Half a bottle of Catalina dressing?
Yeah, that's a critical ingredient.
What is Catalina dressing?
Holy shit.
What is Catalina dressing? It's kind of sweet and soury. I don't really know how to describe it. But it's just, I thought for like at least a decade that that's what taco salad was, because that's what she called it. But it's just a bag of Doritos and meat, but it's good.
I'm curious to see how many people are like reverting to these like arcane family recipes that they grew up and they're like, I think this is how my mom made it. I've done a few things trying to be like, I think this is how my grandma made it, like shit like that. And I'm like, I don't know who to call because some people are passed away and don't have that information anymore. But I'm sure there's a lot of improvised chefs going on. Shout
my
out to all of
us. Kids are getting a lot of, when it's daddy's time to make dinner, they're getting a lot of the cheese flats. Which is just a tortilla with cheese.
Nice.
Yeah, my dad called them cheese roll-ups to so that it sounded like a Taco Bell menu item.
There you go. Right. Yeah, a little bit of ground beef.
Cheese rollers? Yeah.
Yeah, little cheese rollers.
What else we got that's underrated?
Okay, so everyone's been roasting me on the Reddit for calling it COVID, not COVID. I don't know what that is. Is that a boss? Is no one, have you heard no one else call it COVID?
I've never heard someone from Boston say they're going to park the core.
COVID.
Park the
core. No one says you porked the corvid in Horvard Yard.
I like COVID. I just like, I like mass hole pronunciation. Fucking COVID.
Well, somebody explained it to me as you should pronounce it COVID because it's short for coronavirus something, but then that I don't pronounce it coronavirus, I pronounce it so it would be COVID.
Covington like Catholic
it based on those they instructions it would be COVID.
Coronavirus.
Yeah. So I think you're right, Jamie. I'm not going to pronounce it that way, but I think you're right.
Someone linked me to like Mayor Marty Walsh doing a speech about Corona. He's like, even he calls it COVID. What's your fucking excuse?
Matt Walsh is your mayor?
No, if you can imagine somehow a mayor that can be even worse. Marty Walsh.
Marty Walsh. Okay.
Yeah.
Did
you guys
see
that story about UCB? That was
no. What happened?
Ugh. Anyways, shut up, Matt Walsh.
Oh, you mean because like how they laid everybody off and they're like, oh, don't know what to do about that.
They're like, yes, Anne, I've got your back. You're fired. Never speak to me again. Real cool.
Call back.
Well, that's a callback to the spoils of capitalism.
So the
Yay!
Game here is that we're gonna. What is something we think is overrated?
Instagram Live as a platform. I like people using it. I have no issue with that. But it's just, I like, because it's only vertical, it makes it really hard to do most things.
Oh, got it, got it.
So I feel like you can only do kind of very specific shit with it. So I'm glad people are using it. I think it's like the live app that most of us have immediate access to. So right. It's like the easiest thing to use. But the few times I've had to use it this past week, I think that we as a culture just all have to download Zoom on our phones or Twitch on our phones or something, because Instagram Live isn't going to cut it for months.
Yeah. Just do, yeah. Hey, hit Twitch, dude. Do some IRL streaming. Go live on Twitch, Jamie, with that taco salad fucking process video. Honestly, I need to watch that. I want to watch that.
It's just me punching a bag of Doritos. To be like, you just got to get started like this.
With your plastic samurai sword, just beating the fuck out of a bag.
So yeah, I need to be able to do that in landscape.
I saw somebody on Twitter say that Doritos have become a food group with them being in quarantine. I have also upped my Dorito consumption. I wonder if that is a kind of uniform thing, because it's a snack that feels hearty, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and I think anyone who's been like broken in college, like you've looked at a bag of Doritos and go, yeah, that's a dinner right there.
Yeah.
I remember being so poor that I would like lick the Dorito as part one of the meal, you know?
Oh.
A little appetizer.
Like, so you'd have a flavor course?
A flavor course, and then you have your grains.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Hopefully we won't have to go back to those times anytime soon. Yeah,
your wet grains.
People are all impressed by those fancy restaurants where they like give you the impression, the memory of a flavor. Like this,
it's just a air light puff suggestion.
Yeah, this air puff will suggest cauliflower. Well, just lick a Dorito and you get the same shit. Our greatest scientists have been working on that shit. By the way, I think I've said this before, but people. Salsa with Doritos. You don't need to have just a plain corn chip to dip it in salsa. And in fact, Doritos work really well as a
salsa and cream
salsa
cheese
delivery method.
Salsa and cream cheese.
So what it sounds like, Jamie, what you're saying, Instagram Live, good tent, bad app. That's where we're standing.
I mean, you could reach the most people the fastest, but you can only do it in portrait.
Okay,
I don't
guys.
Like it. We as a nation need to step it up and all choose a live streaming
a
app we'll all use.
This I think is most people have picked Twitch, though, for the most part, I think, for like the most robust part. I found myself being like, what the fuck's going on? I'm like, that's right. There's been a thriving world of video streaming before this, and it's all on Twitch.
It's all on Twitch?
Yeah.
Are you using Twitch on a regular basis?
No, but DJ Daniel hooked me up with a camera for my PlayStation that he doesn't use, so I may have to just start doing some oddball underwear live streams of me playing FIFA or something.
You should.
Jamie, sorry, I kept interrupting you. What were you going
to
say?
No, I was just thinking about standing in line for 20 minutes later to get a bag of Doritos to punch.
To beat the shit out of with a plastic katana.
Yeah.
That picture of you with a katana, truly terrifying.
Thank mm-hmm. you. It warranted a call from my mom.
Really? She was like, yeah. Is everything all right?
She was like, is that Isaac's? Because she's always afraid, you know, she's just afraid of people killing me. So she was like, I don't know if Isaac should have a sword in the house. But
not
it's my
sword. Not with
that
Sunny around.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Sonny's going to learn how to wield the blade.
Mm-hmm. Whispering in his ear, you know.
While we were in the quarantine, Sonny was studying the blade.
Finally, guys, what is a myth? What's something people think is true that we know to be false? I've got Wall Street Journal articles are behind a paywall. As J.R.R. Tolkien pointed out, you can usually search the headline on MSN News and you can read the whole article there, because Wall Street Journal generally syndicates a bunch of their articles to MSN News. If it's not there, you can generally just search put the first sentence of the story in quotes and you'll find that it's been, you know, lifted a bunch of other places.
Boom.
So fuck Rupert Murdoch. There's a story that I've been trying to read that's about, it's two Stanford medicine professors who think that coronavirus is being overblown, but I have not had a chance to dig into it yet. So, but those are the first people who seem like they have decent credentials who are who I've seen making that case. So more on that later, gang. All right, guys, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Zeit gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, you know, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeit gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we're back. And it's not just people who are dealing with a crisis when it comes to being able to pay their rent. It's also the Cheesecake Factory. It's also H&M. It's also Subway. It's also your mattress firms. All the greats are dealing
this is
with
a very nice a nice level of cursed on this list.
Yeah, exactly. The sort of place that it's good first date locations. I think all of the above. But it's these are all companies that generally do not, like, as part of their business model, they don't own the building that they are located in. And so they all have rent checks coming up due on April 1st, and Cheesecake Factory has put out a letter to all landlords being like, hey, we're not going to pay you this month, basically. We just can't.
Yeah.
We just can't do it. Sorry.
I think I'm planning on just copy and pasting the Cheesecake Factory letter emailing it to my landlord.
Yeah, you might as well.
To be like, hey, listen, as you know, the cost of the gaudy decor in here has really drained our savings coffers, and it's not going to happen.
I mean, you just got to know. Just hit them with the, hey, man, the economy's frozen, stuck. I can't pay it. Okay, what are you going to do? This is the thing that's been interesting. There's been a lot of stories, too, where you read, again, I think every day there's always new interactions between people, tenants, and landlords that are going, like, viral, whether it's, like, letters from, like, this place in Allentown, Pennsylvania, where, like, this guy was, through his management company, sent a letter to all the tenants being like, well, look, this is the deal. April 1st, your rent's due. April 2nd, your rent's due with a check. If it's not in by the 5th, we disconnect your cable. By the 6th, we evict you. It's that easy, you know, and like, we know it's tough, but you know, but tough shit. And then, when the whole post like went viral, the person who owns the property or management company or the, you know, namesake of the company was like texting people like, you know, that was one of the managers sent that out. That's not how we feel. Obviously, like, we'll try and work with everybody to make sure it works out. But there are also like interviews you read with people who, you know, are like traditional. They predict like maybe about half of the landlords are just sort of like private citizens who have like a duplex they live in and rent out the other part, or have a small business, like a building that they inherited from a, you know, another family member. And they were saying like it's kind of even tough for them to like kick people out, because then they got to like paint it and redo all this shit and spend money and then put an ad out and then like try and find someone.
And also, no
someone
one wants to fucking move right now.
Yes.
Like, who in their right mind is going to pack up? Like,
yeah. So I think even landlords are bitter. Like, fuck. I mean, like, it's also a pain in my ass to evict somebody. Plus, they're not like, not everywhere is able, like, the courts aren't able to process evictions. So, you know, clearly, renters, you know, are in a position of leverage at the moment, because the entire renting population and mortgage paying population is like, the fuck you gonna do?
Right.
Right.
And I think that's what we'll see what happens in terms of what the response is from, you know, the government to figure out how they properly freeze all these payments and just stop the financial drain of these like bills.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been at least happy to see people like calling out your landlord publicly. I mean, sometimes people will only respond to bad press to actually do something. So I'm glad that that has actually achieved some results. And also, it's been nice to see. I mean, I live in a duplex, and we've just been trying to like stay in contact with our neighbor to be like, hey, what are you doing? Let's like have solidarity with each other moving forward with this. And I've seen that with some friends that live in apartment complexes as well, of like, I mean, it's fucking especially hard to do right now, but you know, like talking to your neighbors and trying to communicate with them and like, let's get all on the same page so that
get organized. You know,
exactly. Cause it's like, if you're like, well, I can pay my rent, so maybe I should, but it's like, there might be someone in your complex who, you know, if the landlord is using you as a yardstick, then that could be used to treat someone else poorly. So,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Keep in touch with your neighbors, show solidarity, all that good shit. And we shouldn't have to pay our fucking rent this month.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's just odd though. It's funny to see these companies being like, well, actually I'm going to like act like I can't pay my rent either. And I get that obviously, like, because everything's at a standstill and then there are employers, but how now we're seeing even corporations mimic the behavior of vulnerable people. Like,
yeah.
It's I did not think I would see a headline like that where it's like Cheesecake Factory is saying no to rent.
I do think it's funny. Yeah, I mean, I am curious. I'm trying to get like more information. It's hard. I don't think that there's been like a ton written about like, well, what is the standard of what we should do? Like, what is the best way to show solidarity right now? And like, how case to case is it? I mean, I don't know. I want to know more. I don't want to like, because in some ways it feels like, oh, if you're like just down to pay rent as normal, it could almost be seen as like crossing a picket line. I don't know. I I want more information and welcome any.
I mean, honestly, that's the only way. Like, that's another form of just having a rent strike, I think, is one way to communicate to the banks and lenders, like, where the gridlock is within the system and, like, how the money moves is... Like, that's the thing. That's why I wish a lot of the coverage on the media was talking about how are we going to cure our financial system? So, because this has essentially laid bare all of the ills of our society and of our culture in America. And we aren't discussing like what the light is at the end of the tunnel to be like, this is a future we need to work towards, because you see how we've been doing it. Look what happened just with that. Just with like a new kind of illness going around, completely threw everything the fuck off. And it's interesting to see, curious how many of those presidential candidates who are like, you're going to love your employee provided insurance. There's no need. We need to guarantee health insurance for everybody. Where are y'all at now? And tell me how that still, you know, holds water in this debate now.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like if you're in an apartment building, like a smart thing, if you can pay rent, would be to kind of try and reach out to other people in your building to find out who can and can't pay rent, and then, you know, have some sort of collective communication to the landlord about how you're paying. I would do research even if you can pay rent.
Yeah, exactly. Because I don't know. I get confused of like, you know, even if you are able to, whatever, play the game as normal as it were, does that mean that you should, you know, like there's better. Because it's like, I would rather give money I was using for my rent to like people who, you know, like to donate shit than, you know, I don't know. So,
no, and I think that's where, you know, there isn't a lot of visible. I don't know, like there isn't a lot of strategizing going on that's going to make it into the mainstream media, you know, because they're not going to be like, all right, y'all, this is how you're going to fucking give it to the banks that have been giving it to you for decades. Like, it's just not going to happen. And I think, you know, those are things that we have to figure out, because to go back to like how things have been going we're seeing just all the weaknesses right now, and it's just not sustainable.
I really feel like this election and now this crisis is really laying bare the need for an organized kind of left-leaning media, because people want it, and there's just not really, there's like a bunch of podcasts and that's basically it. And The Intercept, like that's...
The Intercept rules. I mean, it does, like, because right now it just does seem like people are... And I'm so glad they are, but like just donating, like organizing online and communicating online, which is important and like necessary, but it's easy to get like lost in the shuffle there and to get like your information jumbled and be like, oh, well, if it applies to this city, does it apply to me as well? Like, even what like New York is going through is like very different to what we are going through. And then there's a bajillion cities in between us. And so... Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. There seems like a need for more organized leftist reporting and just, you know, local organizing. And a lot of that is happening. It's just, you know, if you haven't been involved in it before, it's just like figuring out, well, where do I find it and how do I, you know, get involved in a meaningful way?
Yeah. So... With regards to kind of what we were just talking about, the people who were relying on employer-provided health care or health insurance, U.S. jobless claims for the week, like the weekly report just came in, and they've gone up by 3 million. If you look at the chart of jobless claims from the chart is from the 60s, the mid-60s up through today. Everything is hovering around 200,000 the entire time. At like during the financial crisis, it spiked up to a little bit over 0.5 million, so like 500,000. And now it's up at 3.2 million. It's shot through the top of the chart essentially. It's all happening at once. So it's really like kind of puts the crisis into perspective.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, even when you look, Steve Mnuchin was on Fox Business or seeing one of those, you know, fucking Wall Street jerk-off channels, and like, he was saying like, oh, you know, that 3.3 million, that's really not relevant right now because, you know, obviously long-term, short-term, we don't really know what we're dealing with. So I really wouldn't worry about that. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And this is people who are able to apply for unemployment. That doesn't count people who have work in the gig economy. You can't apply for unemployment in those occupations. So that number is far greater than even this one. And I think that's where, you know, this like disconnected nature of, you know, the Treasury Secretary. I mean, we knew he was a fucking Disney villain from that one photo where him and his wife were holding up like uncut money. But
yeah,
right.
This is like, you know, to hear that him say something like that, it's irrelevant that probably well over 3.5 million people, probably even more, are out of the job is irrelevant. It's just like, that's just because it's abstract to him. He's like, well, I don't know anybody who's out of the job. But I mean, like, I get there's that part of the economy where people are struggling, but that's not me. And that's irrelevant because who knows what's going to happen. And then, you know, I think also with the bailout, the, you know, the stock market kind of went up slightly. So, you know, most people who use that as their measure, like, okay, I think we might be getting stuff under control while ignoring the real serious issues.
Yeah, I mean, well, I like, and to, for people who think that like number isn't going to continue to increase, I mean, just like even thinking of how many people that I know, and I'm sure everybody knows that like whose job is just the hours they have are on complete life support, depending on how long the business can afford to keep someone on part time. Like it's going to get worse.
Right.
I mean, unless the billionaires tell us to go back to work sooner.
Right.
In which case, we'll all just die.
I
don't know. I mean, we'll see. I mean, I've been talking to my family.
Healthy, so, yeah.
I guess I'm down to die for the cap.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, it's fucked up. Like I was talking to my brother yesterday, and he works at a bakery that closed temporarily, but who knows? And we were talking, he was like, well, I don't know. Should I, like, I don't know if I should try to get a job at a grocery store because they're the only people who are hiring right now. But it's like, I was like, well, that sounds like that could be a dangerous job to take right now. I don't know. It's all so fucked.
Yeah.
And you know, there's people waiting on unemployment benefits, very unclear what the timeline is for when you actually receive those. And all that.
Yeah. We are seeing more detail on the Biden sexual assault allegation, not to do such a hard pivot, but from one type of bad news to another. There's full text in this Reddit thread, and it's way worse than anything we had heard up to this point with the like old handsy Grandpa Joe stuff. It's full on sexual assault. Like
it's rape,
Yeah, it's rape. And there's these details that, like, quotes from him that she says kind of still ring in her head. There's also people who have pointed out that she's written a bunch of really pro-Russia things in the past, but I don't know if that really relates to the seriousness of her claims.
I don't think that it does. I think but that has been the, like, knee-jerk reaction to, I mean, we've seen the same things happen with Trump before of like, well, her story cannot be believed or trusted because of this other thing. So there, she gave the full interview to Katie Halper on Wednesday. You listen to it if you want. It's pretty triggering. It's a lot. Yeah. I mean, as we were talking about yesterday, this woman reached out to Time's Up for assistance, wasn't able to get it because of something. We can't give legal assistance to someone accusing a political candidate who's running for office right now. And there's other people who are kind of coming at her saying, well, she has supported Russia in the past, so she's making it up, which obviously we don't fuck with here. But it's just, I mean, It's a really horrifying story.
Well, yeah, and you also see a lot of people being like, oh, here comes, you know, whatever they want to call it, like Russian trolling or whatever, if that's how you want to completely disregard someone's credible allegation. But like, if yeah. they think, you know, like people who don't support Biden or whatever are like making a big deal out of this, do you think the president is going to not bring this up in some way when he's camp? And then it's just going to be a gross ass battle of finger pointing between people with credible sexual assault allegations. And you're like, what the fuck is this circus I'm looking at?
Well, it's like, and it's just like victims will be dragged out of the woodwork again. And then every debate will just be like, well, who's the worst rapist? I guess don't vote for him. It's just it's so
and I think, you know,
dark.
Just like anything, right? And we talk about this on the show all the time. If you have to treat allegations seriously, you can't, or else there's no way that you can actually properly, effectively confront rape culture if you're always going to have asterisks or weird ways to be like, well, who's it and what's the timing? I don't know. Do we need to do that now? It's like, okay, if this person has an allegation, you saw how people came out for Christine Blasey Ford when she had her allegations against Brett Kavanaugh. But
that's
I don't see those.
Like,
I don't see a lot of those senators now saying we need an investigation and things like that. Because again, sadly, it may be that a lot of those people on even the left were only interested in scoring points against Brett Kavanaugh very narrowly, rather than saying like I am actually upholding this standard of if there is a credible allegation brought forward, we must investigate it.
Well, I think that's a lot of the problems that we see with like Democrats in general, like or the traditional Democratic system is that, you know, it's like solidarity to a point. It's like solidarity as far as it advances what my party wants, as opposed to like, you know, we don't fuck with rapists, period, which, you know, like should obviously be the standard. But yeah, I hadn't even thought about it like in regards to Christine Blasey Ford and Kavanaugh. But you don't see a lot of people coming out. And I honestly haven't seen this story talked about that much yet. And obviously there's a ton going on, but it's like, it's a very relevant story that people should be paying attention to.
It's worth discussing, you know, like I think some people are just like, oh, people just say that cause they want Trump to win or they want some other candidate in there. The bottom line is if this is a truly someone who's has a presidential, like we're treating like a presidential candidate, then at some point, something like this could come up, especially if you've done something and there is some kind of anything in your past to bring up and weaponize against you in the context of a political race, then he has to be able to answer for that too. So if that's the case, then answer for it. Like what's going on is, and let's hear your piece, but to not say anything is just really odd. And, you know, when you look at sort of the dynamics around it, the same people who like worked with Harvey Weinstein or whatever, I get it. Like there's a game in which we will protect people depending on what kind of, you know, what the trade-off is, what they're going to give us, whether that's like a, you know, Trump out of office or maybe to uphold like the status quo in terms of like a corporatocracy, what have you. It's and it's awful to see it really not breach any kind of mainstream news outlet. Like I've not seen anything outside of like The Intercept or maybe like a couple things here or there that are sort of like, I don't know, someone's claiming that happened. I don't know, but we'll bury that at the bottom of our page.
Yeah.
And for anybody who's like, oh, what would you do if you support Bernie and there was a thing about Bernie like that, I would throw his ass on the fucking pile too.
Seriously.
Yeah.
It doesn't fucking matter. That's the difference. I think that's the problem is some people have that fucked up calculus and they think everybody's applying it. And that's not the way it works.
Yeah. And it's also that, I mean, it's that fucking thing where it's like, you know, it's like, I love Bernie, but it's more you have to attach yourself to what they stand for, not to a specific person, or you're 100% of the time going to get fucked over. How many times do we need to learn that lesson that you can't deify a person? You have to, you know, deify their values and live by them, even if they don't. Like, duh, bitch. Quote me.
Duh, bitch. That is the title of today's episode. I mean, I just personally don't want something like this to be true because I do think that like Biden is now the nominee that we're gonna have to run against Trump. Like that's very bad for the country that something like this is coming out, but you can't just ignore it.
All his campaign staff and his advisors need to figure out how they're going to, again, you might be able to bury that shit on you know, the CNNs and MSNBCs of the world, but at a certain point, you don't think Fox is going to do everything they can to run this all over the place to ensure some kind of win for Trump? Or I don't know, are they sort of like, well, don't do this because then we're going to also have to talk about Trump? I don't know. Is it like right. Are they somehow like at a weird, like having a peace agreement, armistice, because they're like, okay, if you don't make it hot about your candidate's sexual assault claims, then we won't make it vice versa. Let's just truce. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm like, can we go back to talk about Cheesecake Factory?
Right.
Their cocktails are gross.
Cheesecake Factory's cocktails?
You ever have one? They cost like $16 and they taste like shit.
Let's take a quick break and then we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
And we're back. And one question that seems to be on a lot of people's minds because of just the activity at gun stores is crime going to go up?
Yeah.
Based on the number of people just draining gun stores of ammo and firearms, you'd think that the world was returning to like some sort of Mad Max, suburban Mad Max thing. And
yeah. Where no one is safe. Everyone is a threat. Shield right. yourself. And I mean, I think that's a natural instinct. I think
yeah.
in general, things become chaotic or unpredictable. Your first thing is safety. You know, some people, you can tell by the things people hoard what they fear. If it's not wiping your asshole with paper, that's one thing. If it's you want to, you know, protect yourself from a violent intruder, then maybe you go hoard your guns and ammo or what have you. And, you know, they were asking a few criminologists sort of, it's in this McClatchy article, just kind of like what their take is on, you know, given the economy and things like that, how that would affect crime. And they've noticed that like right now, initially, the crime has begun to decrease in a lot of cities. And that, because a lot of this depends on three things, these criminologists say. It has to be an intersection of opportunity, motivation, and the absence of a capable guardian.
And right now, with people being like in their houses and like off the streets, the opportunities are gone because you can't really break into a house because chances are someone is behind a door that you might want to open. A lot of the right. businesses are like shuttered and they have their alarms on. So those kinds of burglaries are going to be a little bit more difficult to do. And there aren't as many like quote unquote easy targets when everyone's sort of sheltered. And so despite all that, though, they're saying, you know, obviously like probably auto theft or larceny or street crimes may go down. There may be an increase, obviously, in crimes against unhoused people because, again, they have no protection and they're vulnerable and they have something that someone else might want. That's very possible in that aspect. And the other one is the elderly, yeah. because scammers, the new crime wave will be more about deceptive crime than sort of violent one-to-one street crime. But again, even this criminologist is like, that's my prediction. I can't say that like sort of wholeheartedly, but just based on how we look at things, and there's not really a clear indication like connection between recession and crime. Some people think recessions can create more criminal, like career criminals. But they also say that like in the 2008 recession, there wasn't necessarily an uptick in crimes because of that either. But they're just saying like at the very least, the vulnerable are really going to be the unhoused and elderly or anyone who's desperate enough to fall for some kind of like fraudulent scam.
Right. I mean, and it's been like pretty, I mean, as is usual, there's been a lot of promises to unhoused communities that by most cities I've read about, I mean, the promises are just not, they're delayed. They're not being followed through on. They say, don't worry, it's going to happen. And then they suspend city council meetings in any other way to give people resources. There's been, and it's like, of course, I don't know. It's so frustrating. I've seen like groups that have nothing to do with the city organizing to try to protect unhoused citizens because that's like the only people who will do anything. Like the systems is not doing anything. And the same for elderly too. Like I've been calling my boomers in the mornings, and a lot of people, I mean, it's like a lot of the elderly population is like very rightfully on their guard and being like, you know, because I mean, I'm sure all the scammers are coming out. And
right.
so when an actual public service calls, they're like, wait, what's the catch? And you're like, no, I understand. Like,
right.
I swear there's not a catch, but that is also what a scammer would say.
Right, right, right. Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I think that's the other thing. If you have like elderly family members, warn them. Like there are going to be people who are going to try and offer them some kind of weird fucking service or relief program. I don't know, just some shit. Because all across the board, even if you're not elderly, like being in this unpredictable financial situation can make you very vulnerable to all kinds of manipulation. And I think that's the important thing to look out for.
Mm. Yeah.
Can't wait to see what MLMs take off during this time.
Right. Oh, God. Well, one thing in that vein is that Goop may get us killed after all. So, I mean, Gwyneth herself has not been...
Fair.
Gwyneth herself has not been doing anything that's overtly irresponsible. She posted a photo on Instagram of herself wearing a face mask and gloves coming back from a farmer's market. If you look at the picture, she looks like she's in like a very chill Mortal Kombat game. Like it's like a full face black mask. She's also reassuring people that now is a time for nesting, reading, cleaning out closets, doing something you've always wanted to do. Which is tough if you're working from home, you know, in a job that has gotten more stressful, more stretched, or taking care of kids, or scrambling for money, or doing all of those things at once, or, you know, infected with the virus and doing all those things at once. You can nest and read and clean out your closets. Yeah, that's a time for fun downtime activities. But one thing that Goop has done that's kind of overtly irresponsible is over the past couple of years, they've been platforming this psychiatrist named Kelly Brogan. who has recently been out there on social media claiming that the coronavirus might not even exist. In a video, she claims that the reason people are dying isn't actually the coronavirus, but rather the fear of the virus. She's suggested that the media is secretly controlled by a pro-vaccination group.
Holy
and
shit.
Suggested the government is actually doing this to gain totalitarian government control, not unlike the divide and conquer dehumanization agendas that preceded the Holocaust. She's ticking all the boxes.
Out Goop.
Yeah.
Who won't they platform? They're like, if you have $1 million and a bad idea, you are on that website.
Yeah.
But that's on her
social media. Goop, right. So they're not posting that on Goop. This was on her social media, but she appeared on Goop's website last fall in October 2019 and on the Goop podcast in December 2018. And the subject of that podcast at that time was, "Can you heal the mind through the body?" So is basically
so vague
theory, right? It's all in your mind, guys. Just don't feel fear, and you will. Everything's interconnected. And at that time, obviously, we didn't have her very interesting views on the coronavirus to refer to, but we did have her have an indication of where she stood on these sorts of things because she had been publicly denying that AIDS is caused by HIV for many years, and in fact said that drug toxicity associated with AIDS treatment may very well be what accounts for the majority of AIDS deaths. So it's all just people being too worried about diseases and drugs.
It's all about your
combat
vibes
those
too.
Diseases are killing people. As opposed to saving their lives.
Cancer is actually just a really bad cluster of bad vibes you haven't untangled.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, if you have cancer, honestly, why are you being so negative?
Right, it's your negativity.
I'm getting big orb energy from Dr. Brogan from the Marianne Williamson books, like early on that she was writing that was getting her in trouble. She was like, yeah, just think your illness is away.
I mean, speaking of Marianne, she is our queen. I was somewhere yesterday where a quote from her was not like hanging on the wall, but painted onto the wall.
Yes.
It's a good quote, but it's just shocking. In every community, there is work to be done. In every heart, there is power to do it. And you're like, oh, I can hear her saying it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In every heart.
And in a way,
yes, girl,
like,
and I just want to tell you. Mm-hmm.
And in a way that is printed. Like, it's not like somebody just like wrote that on the wall.
Oh,
like,
it's not going stenciled. Anywhere.
Yeah,
it's going to be, someone stenciled it in, and it took a long time. Marianne is also reading A Return to Love, her famous book, on YouTube for free, so people will hashtag stay home. So,
yes, girl.
Girl's doing her part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, what can I do besides pray it away?
Guys, let's talk about this list from McClatchy of items that people are not desperate enough to hoard.
This is also, this list kind of is also indicating sort of another thing I was talking about is like, we're running out of content to talk about. Like, with everything slowing down, we're like such a content focused culture that, you know, the paparazzi business is tanking right now because there are no people, there are no famous people who are living outside of the walls to take photos of where we can pretend that that's the world we want to be in. So now it's just basically celebrities have been reduced to the same lifestyle as every person, which is, I guess, just with a nicer house or background. But like on McClatchy, I had seen like articles here and there or like tweets of people like saying like, oh, look at this shit in my grocery store. No one's touching this or this or this. Like McClatchy, who does like really great journalism, sort of had to venture into like, let's scrape some stuff together to get an article out there.
What are they doing?
Yeah. But again, fantastic article, because some of the things I'm like, I saw this on a list from last week, but then there's some new ones. So and the region specific ones are great. So, for example, across the board, it seems like even from Canada to Scotland to parts of the United States, vegan hot dogs are pretty much readily available for anyone seeking them. If you are in San Francisco in particular, the cauliflower-based mac and cheese, fully stocked. There was a photo of that. Like, no one even touched one box of cauliflower mac and cheese. And
I had cauliflower-based rice risotto last night out of our freezer, and it was pretty good. So don't sleep on the cauliflower stuff, guys.
No, I like cauliflower rice, but I think just when they start making things like that are we're used to being full on like mac like Kraft mac and cheese, like it was Kraft mac and cheese, but cauliflower.
Like cauliflower.
It wasn't just like a it was just the Kraft. So most people they want respect for the as full blown gluten as possible.
That's a culture, yeah.
The other one in Boston, cans and cans of Manhattan clam chowder left on the shelves.
Well, what do you fucking think?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You think Manhattan clam chowder is going to solve COVID?
COVID
19? I don't fucking think so.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here, bro.
That's just on the grocery stores for bringing Manhattan clam chowder into Boston.
New
England.
Yeah, you should know better. Yeah, Dasani water is just sitting. Like
Why?
In certain Costco's, because I think people know it's just trash sink water that's in a bottle.
I would beg to differ. Dasani is my favorite water.
You like that purified bullshit?
Yeah, that's my favorite, man.
Waters,
which are all bullshit, but
and also we're quickly learning fuck bottled water forever too. Like
bottled water.
And it wasn't even like, obviously the environmental impacts and things like that. But when I fully started looking, people load all this heavy ass water. I'm like, bro, no, that should come out the sink.
Good. For free. And it's fine. Water tastes nasty.
Oh my God. Hot take from the Squeeze It High C lobby over there.
Everyone says that it tastes like nothing. It tastes like something and it tastes bad.
So you don't drink water? Is that your new thing you've arrived at?
No, I do it now, but I really make a big deal of it.
I gotta down a cup of shit juice again.
Yeah, I fucking choke every time.
Other things that people saw, Brussels sprouts, may have been not everywhere, but in certain places. The regional things that were really interesting was in South Carolina, there were a few shots of people not taking the jugs of unsweet tea. Like all this sweet tea was gone, but the gallon jugs of unsweet, they're like, nah, fuck that. Like, I don't even have the time to turn it up with sugar myself, not touching it. And also in North Carolina, now North Carolina Zeitgang, I think that's you, a few of you, and I won't say your names, but Duke's mayonnaise was gone. And I guess that's your thing over there to the point where every other mayonnaise was left on the shelf. They're like, I don't touch Hellmann's. It's only Duke's.
Duke's mayonnaise.
Hellmann's.
It's interesting to see those things come out. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that is content. That counts.
That does count. Also, wait, what the fuck is chocolate hummus?
Dude, it's just some shit they have at Trader Joe's. I've seen it, but I've never even bothered to touch it because the combination of words is an abomination itself.
Yeah.
I'm like, no.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right.
I mean, it just seems like it's emphasizing making some decisions for these companies, right? You gotta get rid of this chocolate hummus, guys. What the fuck are you
doing? Yeah, I mean, and also, Zeitgang, if you're eating chocolate hummus, please let me know why you think it's worth eating. It sounds like a joke on everyone.
Right. I mean, is it chickpeas mashed up with like Nutella?
Hershey bars?
With Nutella or Hershey bars?
I don't know. When I see chocolate hummus, I'm just like, in my mind, it is.
Yeah, I have no idea, and I don't care to know.
No, yeah, they are. It is with chickpeas.
Hell yeah.
Jesus Christ. Chocolate hummus does taste really good. And like they basically present it like on a platter of like fruits and things like that. And then saying, yeah, made from a standard base of cooked chickpeas, tahini, and expeller pressed canola oil. little bit of cocoa.
But it goes with fruit.
Pour a big glass of water with that. That's so nasty.
I like that they're like, it tastes good. Like they know that you're going to be shocked by that fact.
They're trying to gaslight you at the top. They'd be like, no.
Look, we get it. This sounds fucking gross.
I mean, the way that even the post on it when like the product hit the shelves, I guess in August of last year on the Trader Joe's page, it says, our customers love chocolate and our customers love hummus, but chocolate hummus? Admittedly, we were skeptical. The idea of dessert hummus being anything more than interesting seemed unlikely. And while we're all for interesting, our products have to actually taste good too. Like, really good. And to our great surprise, chocolate hummus does in fact taste really good.
Mm.
What?
To our surprise, this doesn't fucking suck.
To our surprise, this shit paste tastes like chocolate hummus.
This is like that show The Ranch on Netflix, where it was like just blindly using data to create something. It's right. Like, well, people like Westerns and Two and a Half Men. Let's make a show that's a combination of those two things.
Did y'all watch The Ranch?
No.
It was bad.
It tastes surprisingly good.
I saw maybe the
good.
First episode.
I watched a couple episodes. It was so distracting to me of like how clear it was that they were not on a ranch. That's what took me out of it.
Right. It was just like they put a couple horseshoes up on the set of Two and a Half Men.
They were in like an empty Forever 21 in Burbank, and they just like, yeah, hung up a horseshoe. And they're like, all right, Ashton Kutcher, try a Southern accent. And he's like, oh, like it was just brutal.
Oh, was totally on board for this show until I realized actually does not take place on a real life ranch.
It doesn't it should at least look like they might be on a ranch, but they just like parked a truck outside of a Forever 21 and they're like, here it is, it's the ranch.
Zeke, give us any other examples of chocolate hummus and the ranch, things that are just like clearly based on data, blindly based on data, and terrible, godless abominations. Well, all right, guys. This was a fun ending for a depressing show.
We got through another week, y'all.
Another week, baby.
Woo!
Jamie, where can people find you and follow you?
Hey, you can find me on Twitter at Jamie Loftus Help. You can find me on Instagram at Jamie Christ Superstar. There's a new episode of the Bechdel Cast out this week about Mulan, which was supposed to come out and now it didn't. But hey, we made an episode anyways, so it's out.
Hey,
hell yeah.
Yeah.
And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yes. Let's.
Sure.
This is a tweet from Alex Goldman that just made me think. It says, every one of the Thomas trains has a mostly silent human driver, and it gives me endless questions about the nature of free will on the island of Sodor.
Oh my God, that is a question that my four-year-old or three-year-old is actually constantly asking me, is about the driver, because like when he was watching or reading the books, they never include the driver, but then he watched the show and the drivers are there and suddenly he's like, wait, there are drivers? What the fuck is happening?
There's drivers.
Not in those words.
My theory is that the show also doesn't know what the situation with the drivers is.
Yeah, because there's a human, Sir Topham Hatt, who like kind of runs the whole operation.
An icon.
Yeah, an icon, clearly. So like he communicates
icon.
To the trains. Are the trains just fictional projections of the personalities of their drivers? And if so, why does Thomas, like, why would Thomas's driver be like have some of the personality quirks? They're like, think it was hard to get up a hill sometimes.
There's so many. I don't know. I wonder if there is some like deep lore with the drivers. I feel like someone has probably taken it upon themselves. And if they haven't, now's the time, I guess.
Mm. Yeah. Anyways, Miles, where can people find you and what's a tweet you've been enjoying?
No, that was riveting. You can find me, follow me on Twitter, Instagram, PlayStation Network, Miles of Gray, and also my other show, 420 Day Fiance with Sophia Alexandra. A couple of tweets I like. First one is from Brandy Posey at Brandazzle. If I was a millionaire slash billionaire right now, I'd pretty publicly be paying a bunch of rent GoFundMes and posting them out just selfishly to safeguard myself as one of the good ones for when this is all over. Another one is from Jared Goldstein. Hey, Jared. Hey, it says LGBT equals let gays buy tigers.
Yes. All right. So starting tomorrow, we will be discussing Tiger King.
Monday.
Starting Monday, we will be discussing the Tiger King. Jamie will be ready. And so you guys take the weekend, get caught up. One of my tweets is actually about the Tiger King. It's just true. From Billy Wayne Davis, he said, Tiger King is the perfect explanation of the success of Jodie Hill, Danny McBride, and Ben Best. They understand the very real characters in rural America and what fuels them at their cores. Foot Fist Way is the Tiger King without meth.
I love it. Foot Fist Way rules. I love
and it's true. There's like something very unique about like the stories that they tell that is specific to. I've heard it described as like the Protestant South, like as just like the ethos and the values that their shows kind of embody. Another tweet that I've been enjoying from Mitten Damor tweeted, a neighbor is blowing bubbles from their garden. Great, whimsical little flying blisters of plague. you can find me on Twitter, @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter @DailyZeitgeist. We're @TheDailyZeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes.
We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be?
I'm just going to keep moving with the Afrobeat style. We did Manu Dibango yesterday. Let's do a Fela Kuti track today. Manu played with before. And that one is Rofo Rofo Fight by Fela Kuti. It's one of my, probably the first Fela Kuti song I'd ever heard. And then fully got me into Afrobeat and the music of Fela and his son, Femi and Seyun and the whole gang out there. Shout out to Nigeria. And yeah, this is a classic song, Fela Kuti, Africa 70, Rofo Rofo Fight.
Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for our shows for the week. We'll be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending. And then back on Monday with more podcasts. And we will talk to you guys then. Have a great weekend. Stay safe.
Bye.
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 Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get.
But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.